The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on this Thursday, fourth day of October, 2018. Do me a favor, Mike. Fire up that credibility accuser. Eight reasons why Christine Blasey Ford is not a credible accuser. Some of the stuff you have not heard. And also, I don't know how many people that listen to Mike Rivera's program listens to mine, but there is another Ben Swan expose that he put out that I think everybody should hear as to who and what Judge Kavanaugh. He's in the second Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. They say it's the second highest Court of Appeals. But going back on this water torture thing and, you know, what's legitimate? Remember when they were trouncing your constitutional rights, Fourth Amendment rights to privacy and everything else? You kept hearing the phrase, you know, we've got to seek a balance. As if walking out on the gangplank with the ship rolling 30 degrees port and starboard, that you got to somehow keep your balance while you're precariously perched on the perch of no more constitutional rights for you. Okay? So we'll get into all of that. Go ahead and roll this one. Here's some information I did not know. And then we're going to take a look at Judge Kavanaugh, that apparently part of his mission to become a Supreme Court justice doesn't have anything to do with privacy. Go ahead and run that, Mike.
The accusations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh are credible. That's the word that we keep hearing over and over from the media ever since Christine Blasey Ford first came forward. Credibly accused. But what does that mean? Is a credible accusation really the new term for an accusation that is not supported by any physical evidence or witnesses? Well, now the Arizona prosecutor who questioned Blasey Ford has released a memo as to why she says Ford is not a credible accuser. Let's give it a reality check.
Reality check with Ben Swan, powered by Smart Cash.
Well, Rachel Mitchell, the Arizona sex crimes prosecutor who questioned Christine Blasey Ford last week and started to question Brett Kavanaugh before she was cut off by Republican senators, has released a memo that states she does not believe that Blasey Ford is a credible accuser. In the memo, she states, quote, "This memorandum contains my own independent assessment of Dr. Ford's allegations based upon my independent review of the evidence and my nearly 25 years of experience as a career prosecutor of sex-related and other crimes in Arizona, and is not influenced by anyone politically." Well, Mitchell then goes on to explain a number of reasons why she believes that Ford is not a credible accuser. So let's take a look at this. Number one, Dr. Ford has not offered a consistent account of when the alleged assault happened. In a July 6th text to the Washington Post, she said it happened in the mid-1980s. In her July 30th letter to Senator Feinstein, she said it happened in the early 80s. Her August 7th statement said that it happened one high school summer in the early 80s, but then she crossed out the word early for reasons she did not explain. Quote, while it is common for victims to be uncertain about dates, Dr. Ford failed to explain how she was suddenly able to narrow the time frame to a particular season and a particular year, end quote. Number two, Dr. Ford has struggled to identify Judge Kavanaugh as the assailant by name. No name was given in her 2012 marriage therapy notes. No name was given in her 2013 individual therapy notes. Dr. Ford's husband claims to recall that she identified Judge Kavanaugh by name in 2012, but at that point, Judge Kavanaugh's name was widely reported in the press as a potential Supreme Court nominee if Governor Romney won the presidential election. Keep that in mind. Again, quote, in any event, it took Dr. Ford over 30 years to name her assailant. Delayed disclosure of abuse is common, and so this is not dispositive, end quote. Number three, when speaking with her husband, Dr. Ford actually changed her description of the incident to become less specific. Dr. Ford testified that she told her husband about a sexual assault before they were married, but she told the Washington Post that she informed her husband that she was the victim of physical abuse at the beginning of their marriage. She did testify before the Senate. Both times she was referring to the same incident. Number four, Dr. Ford has no memory of key details of the night in question, details that could help to corroborate her account. Quote, she does not remember who invited her to the party or how she heard about it. She does not remember how she got to the party in the first place. She does not remember in what house the assault allegedly took place or where that house was located with any specificity. Perhaps most importantly, she does not remember how she got from the party back to her house. Number five, Dr. Ford's account of the alleged assault has not been corroborated by anyone that she has identified as having attended, including her lifelong friend. All three named eyewitnesses, they have submitted statements to the committee denying any memory of this party whatsoever. Most relevantly, in her first statement to the committee, Ms. Kaiser stated, through counsel, again, this is Ford's lifelong friend, that, quote, simply put, Ms. Kaiser does not know Mr. Kavanaugh, and she has no recollection of ever being at a party or gathering where he was present, with or without Dr. Ford, end quote. Now, in a subsequent statement to the committee, though, through counsel, Ms. Kaiser said this, quote, the simple and unchangeable truth is that she is unable to corroborate Dr. Ford's allegations because she has no recollection of the incident in question, end quote. Number six, Dr. Ford has not offered a consistent account of the alleged assault itself. Her account of who was at the party has been inconsistent. We know that. According to the Washington Post's account of her therapy notes, there were four boys in the bedroom in which she was assaulted. Now, she told the Washington Post that the notes of that session were erroneous because there were four boys at the party, but only two inside the bedroom. In her letter to Senator Feinstein, she said, quote, me and four others were present at the party. In her testimony, she said there were four boys in addition to Leland Kaiser and herself. She could not remember the name of that fourth boy, and again, remember, no one else has come forward. Number seven, Dr. Ford's description of the psychological impact of the event also raises questions. She maintains that she suffers from anxiety, claustrophobia, and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as a result of this incident. Now, the date of the hearing was actually delayed because the committee was informed that her symptoms prevent her from flying. But she agreed during her testimony that she flies fairly frequently for her hobbies and for work. She flies to the Mid-Atlantic at least once a year to visit her family. She has flown to Hawaii, French Polynesia, and Costa Rica, and she also flew to Washington, D.C. for the hearing. And number eight, the activities of congressional Democrats and Dr. Ford's attorneys likely affected Dr. Ford's account. Miller then goes on to post in a timeline and details of all of that. So what you need to know here is, first of all, some of you are going to be so angry that we even brought these issues up, saying this is clearly partisan, instead of recognizing that all of this is based on evidence or the lack thereof. What else you need to know? That this case is actually a product of the echo chamber that media has created in the U.S. over the past 20 years. The public, most of you, have made up your minds about whether or not you support Blasey Ford, not based on what she has said, but simply because she made the accusation at all. Many supporters of Kavanaugh first believed him because he's in their camp. But reality check here. Most people following the story decided what is true and now look back only on the evidence they want to see in order for it to fit the outcome they want to believe. The justice system in our country, it's not perfect, no question. But it has been designed in a way that strives to make accusers face the accused. It requires evidence. It requires cooperation and witness testimony and consistency when someone is accused. In this case, none of that has been needed. Christine Blasey Ford's testimony is not credible, according to someone who was once named Sex Crimes Prosecutor of the Year in her state by a Democratic governor, and would not be considered credible in a court of law. Which is why Democratic senators, you notice they keep referring to all this madness as just a job interview and not a trial. Because if this were a trial, there is no evidence to convict. That's a reality check. Let's talk about it right now.
Just an interview for a job, but they didn't tell you that you had to expose your underparts and put them on a table and let somebody whack them with a big hammer. Yeah, just a job interview. Well, it's rather fascinating, folks, because I'm going to get into a little bit more here of Ben Swan, and we're going to flip the tables here on Justice Kavanaugh, or Judge, it's Judge Kavanaugh now. I'm looking at this and I'm going, Lindsey Graham launching on the Democrats. This is the first time I ever saw this little senator, and I'm being kind. Get excited about anything. And what I think you're going to discover here is maybe packing the Supreme Court with people that, they just want to make it easy for the government to continue its wars, endless wars against people. And you know the term that they used. You know, like I pointed out, we must balance the need for national security with people's privacy. That, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the sickest jokes that's ever been perpetrated and carried by the news media. This is all about snooping and pooping and depriving you of what constitutionally is yours and yours alone. Mike, go ahead and run that second clip. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is on Mr. Kavanaugh, and I think we've got Judge Napolitano that he actually teaches a class, and you'll hear a portion of this, and he's spelling this out on a blackboard to his class attendees. Go ahead and roll that, Mike.
Well, the circus that has surrounded the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court has been drowned out by 36-year-old uncooperated accusations of sexual assault. Now, do you support Kavanaugh's nomination? If so, you likely do, because you know almost nothing about his record, but you feel for him personally. Do you oppose Kavanaugh? If you do, it's likely for the very same reason. But today, we're going to tell you why, for constitutional reasons, Brett Kavanaugh should likely not be a Supreme Court justice. Is Brett Kavanaugh actually an enemy of the Fourth Amendment? Let's give it a reality check.
Reality Check with Ben Swan, powered by Smart Cash.
Well, all of the noise around the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the Supreme Court has really accomplished only one thing. It has prevented any real concerns over Kavanaugh's history and view of the Constitution. Today, three reasons why Kavanaugh should likely not be on the U.S. Supreme Court. Number one, the Patriot Act. You may or may not know that during the time of the September 11th terror attacks, Brett Kavanaugh was an associate White House counsel for then-President George W. Bush. Now, he was instrumental in helping to draft and create one of the most unconstitutional laws ever passed in this country. We're talking about the Patriot Act. According to the Electronic Privacy Information Center, the Supreme Court justice nominee, in emails at that time, referred to the Patriot Act as, quote, measured, careful, responsible, and a constitutional approach. He has been definitively credited with the line, quote, "The new law will update laws authorizing government surveillance," which demonstrates one very important thing, that the Fourth and Fifth Amendment protections of due process and protections against warrantless searches and government surveillance is something that Kavanaugh believes could be updated in the Constitution. As the Foundation for Economic Freedom points out, quote, "Anyone who knows anything about the Patriot Act knows that constitutional and careful are by no means accurate descriptions. The Patriot Act obliterated the Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights to privacy and due process by giving the federal government sweeping new powers to conduct surveillance on the American people," end quote. Number two, his role in the U.S. torture memos and enemy combatants issue. Now, while in the Bush White House, Kavanaugh was involved in two very important discussions, the first of which surrounded the use of torture by the administration. In 2004, a series of memos, which were originally composed while Kavanaugh served the Bush administration, well, those were released. And in short, these memos told a story of members of the Bush administration attempting to broadly expand the legal definition of torture to justify waterboarding and sleep deprivation as being permissible. Those memos also detailed the Bush administration's attempt to seek the authority to label anyone of their choosing, anyone, as an enemy combatant, thus subjecting them to the possibility of indefinite detention in facilities like Guantanamo Bay. While undergoing his nomination to the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit in 2006, Kavanaugh testified that he knew nothing about these memos or the attempt to frame a legal argument for indefinite detention, saying this, quote, "I think with respect to the legal justifications or the policies relating to the treatment of detainees, I was not aware of any issues on that or the legal memos that subsequently came out. This was not part of my docket, either in the counsel's office or as staff secretary," end quote. But in 2007, the Washington Post reported that in 2002, there was in fact a contentious meeting in the White House over whether the Supreme Court would allow the enemy combatant to be used for any American the government deemed an enemy, and that now Judge Kavanaugh was not only present at this meeting, but was specifically summoned to weigh in on the matter since he himself was a former clerk for the swing vote judge, Justice Anthony Kennedy. At the meeting, he reportedly voiced his concerns that Justice Kennedy and other swing voters on the Supreme Court would never side with the administration's controversial decision to label any person, any American citizen, an enemy combatant. Number three, Kavanaugh apparently doesn't believe in privacy. Now, no doubt you remember when Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor, revealed this massive spying program that had been underway by the federal government for years, spying on and gathering information on virtually every American citizen. Well, during that time, Judge Kavanaugh, he was and he still is on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. It's the second most powerful court in the nation. But it was in this position that Kavanaugh sided with government mass surveillance, stating that, quote, "The government's metadata collection program is entirely consistent with the Fourth Amendment." He also later stated that, quote, "critical wow. national security need outweighs the impact on privacy occasioned by this program," end quote. See, Judge Kavanaugh, simply put, believes that you do not have an inherent right to privacy, something that a true constitutionalist would believe in, because privacy and the right to be free from constant surveillance is the very foundation of our Constitution. Judge Andrew Napolitano gave a lecture recently explaining how Kavanaugh holds the Fourth Amendment in such low regard. Take a look.
"It's essential American right in the Fourth, the right to be left alone, which of course today we call privacy. The Fourth is the most unique one because it says the people, doesn't say the citizens, it says the people shall not be interfered with in their persons, houses, papers,
keep
and
your
effects.
Hands off
persons,
my Eddie Betty.
Houses,
I have a
papers,
way of saying
and
that.
Effects, except by a warrant signed by a judge based on probable cause. Probable cause means probable cause of crime. It doesn't mean probable cause that you're talking to a book agent in Florence, a real case in which the NSA was listening to a conversation in Italian. They thought they were hearing a terrorist. They were just hearing a guy in New York trying to buy a book from the book agent in Florence. When the case came to court, the judge said, well, there's no prosecution here. They didn't come after you for anything you said. Therefore, there's no violation of the Fourth Amendment. Who wrote that opinion?
We can look.
See if you've heard of this guy.
But don't touch. Oh, and the name he's writing on the board? Kavanaugh.
About which more later.
So what you need to know is that Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination has, again, turned into a circus. Brett Kavanaugh, make no mistake, is not a constitutionalist. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution is one of the most critically important in order to maintain a free republic. Brett Kavanaugh, throughout his career, has actually worked to destroy the freedoms that the Fourth Amendment protects. And that is the reason Kavanaugh should be resisted. But part of the reason that these issues are not at the forefront of this argument, because the politicians who oppose him and those who support him, virtually all of them, also hold the Fourth Amendment in contempt. They also, all of them, don't believe that you have a right to privacy or freedom from unlawful search or freedom from government spying. See, Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, if it happens, it's not a disregard of women, as the media will tell you. It's a disregard of freedom. That's reality check. Let's talk about that.
Alrighty. Well. So, here's some new basic questions for you, folks. If the Democrats, Feinstein, Booker, which I don't even know how this guy got to be a U.S. senator, but leave that for another time. Why wasn't the Democrats going, well, Mr. Kavanaugh, you know, without the Christine Blasey Ford, by the way. Jeez, old Pete. Yeah, I guess they kind of figured that some gaps in her testimony and her story, you know, could be racked up to, well, it did happen 36 years ago. And folks, all sorts of things have come out after that, that he was taking part in wearing KKK robes and performing sex on dogs while saluting Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. Seriously. But this is an issue of privacy and freedom. This goes to the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Don't you think the Democrats could have had a better time trying to get at Kavanaugh with that rather than this Blasey Ford pipe dream? Think about this for a moment, folks. Even Fox News yesterday, I caught them with the news we broke days ago about her testimony and picking that testimony apart that she gave in front of that Senate committee about the for instance, the issue about the second door. She just had, because she was so claustrophobic, she had to have a second door in the front of her house, which was a lie. It was there for an addition to the house. I guess it was going to be an apartment of some sort or whatever the case may be. It was designed to be a second entrance to an isolated portion of that house. But according to her testimony, no. My husband and I argued about that, and I needed an escape door. Just as if she was claustrophobic and couldn't fly, and the Republicans had to go out to California. Well, we find out that Christine Blasey Ford had no problem boarding jets for extended flights, folks. You know, I was once in an airplane, and this is a true story. I was once in an airplane where this woman freaked out to the point she ran for the door, and she was going to open up that door and get out of that plane. Now, as crazy as that sounds, here's a woman that's so stricken by anxiety and fear, she's willing to kill herself to escape her fear. Forget the fact that we were flying at 30,000 miles an hour. And if she wouldn't have passed out before she hit the ground, it'd be one hell of a ride of her life. Nothing that any roller coaster could give you that kind of thrill. Well, we were mid-flight over nowhere. And the stewardesses were becoming concerned that this woman was going to take a mad dash. The pilots had been appraised of the situation. At this point in time, what do you do? So I assessed the situation. I looked at the head stewardess and I said, look, let me babysit this one. Let me see if I can get her calmed down. And I did exactly that. She wouldn't move away from that door. Oh, no. Now, obviously, these were the days before we had air marshals and people attacking people with box cutters. Yeah. So I talked to the head stewardess. She informed the captain of what was transpiring in his airplane. And I stood between her and that door. Got her calmed down. She never did sit down that entire flight, folks. Neither did I. But I kind of moved her, incrementally moved her away from that door. And what would have been the easier thing? Just a right cross to the jaw, knock her out and tie her down in a chair. But if you've got some sort of humility and humanity toward other people, you understood the situation. And this woman was just freaked out beyond belief. But there are ways to handle things and ways to handle things. So, looking at this situation, I mean, so Brett Kavanaugh didn't try to do Blasey Ford 36 years ago when he was a senior in high school. And all this stuff about his drinking and did you ever black out and did you ever do this or that or the other? All a smokescreen, but for what purpose? Here's the overreaching or overriding question. Why was this little theater put on? Now, it makes more sense to me to understand why our Carolina friend here, our effeminate one, just came out after the Democrats about going after Kavanaugh and you're seeking power and this, that, and the other. No, I think what he was doing was protecting a justice that was going to be seated on the Supreme Court for future use on issues such as privacy and the constitutionality of the very thing that they're gutting. You know, folks, do you know the Supreme Court will not hear any cases on property and who owns it and who's got the ability to tell you what the hell to do with it? They will not touch that case. That is part and parcel of your freedoms in our Constitution. The King's Doctrine, don't you cross this threshold, otherwise you ain't going to like what you're going to get. If you're not going to act constitutionally, you're not going to do a presentment of warrant and the facts that warrant should be sworn out and you should be taken into custody, that your freedom and liberty be temporarily suspended because we suspect you of a serious crime that is a threat to your community or other individuals or maybe even yourself. How easy this is to do. Folks, we're in a quandary here because none of these asshats are opening up the Constitution and reading it. They're just throwing stuff in there for what they feel are good reason. Oh, well, we're under extension. We might have Al-Qaeda hiding under your rose bush in your front yard at 3:00 in the morning. My God, we're under threat. And again, let me go back to my original statements here. This convenient, extended, forever war on terrorism, quit creating the terrorists, if that's even true. Okay? Let me pose the argument that I'm buying half of your BS. Well, let's quit doing nasty things to people that would make them want to kind of retaliate against their oppressors. I don't know. How do you define oppression, folks? Do you define oppression by mounds of stinking and rotting bodies, people that have been killed for no damn good reason at all? Because why? Because we can. Not because we should. Because we can. And I suspect here there may be a good reason why the Democrats kind of pushed this thing off into this Arizona 25 years and I can go in there and smell poop when I smell it. They want Kavanaugh on that bench. And I'm asking the question today, should he be seated on the Supreme Court of the United States? We've already heard some of the evidence coming in as how he feels about one of the bedrocks, the fundamental bedrocks, folks, of our rights and freedom of movement. You know, that fourth kind of refers back to the first. Freedom of assembly, talking, walking, standing on your soapbox, give it a date, give it a time, give it a name. The whole damn thing stinks. And they're still trying to take the rest of it. Slide out the back door with it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
You know, every time I hear that song, the question keeps ringing through my head. If you were that big and bad, why you wouldn't be a football player earning millions of dollars rather than digging in a mine? Just one of those little things I think about. Folks, if we just step back a little bit and take a look at this Kavanaugh thing, Blasey Ford, how the Democrats are acting, how the Republicans are acting, this is all based on emotion, wasn't it? Even to the point that the Republican Stepanfechin said, you know, she needs to tell her story. You know, go tell it to the Inquirer. Don't tell it to us. But here's the point. And I will admit that a little bit of this worked on me. This was a point of the Democrats going after Kavanaugh. And look at this. Isn't this terrible? Rather than the Republicans and the Democrats asking him about maybe his viewpoint on the Fourth Amendment, waterboarding, torture. What about that little thing about waging war in the Middle East without actually having to declare a war? You know, just kind of extended policing against terrorist actions. That there's going to be a forever, ever war, folks. They've already said it, and that's exactly what it's designed to be. There's your question for you. They've got us playing left-right, hooray for the right, and bad left, don't they? This is all came around full circle, and people were emoting. Oh, the emotion of it all. Now, I want that hard, critical look with removing that emotion out of it and looking at for what exactly it is. Yeah, was it a sideshow? But the question is, for what reason did they make it? Don't you think the Democrats are going to enjoy the fact that, we're not going to look at this thing constitutionally? Here we're seating a judge, or attempting to prevent a judge from being seated. But it plays right into their hands, as well as the Republicans. If you think the rot died with the cancer inside of John McCain's head, you're wrong. Lindsey Graham, the little steppin' fetchin' for Mr. McCain, is looking for a new daddy, I hear, to give him pointers on how to continue the endless war on terrorism while eviscerating and violating every right that we have. It's justifiable, folks. Don't think for a minute that it isn't. Listen to me wail. Well, about the time all this is happening, Nick West pointed out some very interesting things on, you know, that little, remember that phrase, posse comitatus? That was to prevent the U.S. military from acting in law enforcement, or not just law enforcement, in times of national emergency, maybe up to and including the suspension of that Constitution, that forbade the military for taking any actions on citizen, and I don't give a damn what reason it was for. Well, does anybody remember that it used to be considered a conspiracy theory to warn people about biometric databases? Well, now that is an accepted reality. We should be looking even further down the road for the new signpost indicating even greater plans to track, trace, database all human beings. Apparently, it is neither sufficient nor efficient to have a myriad of databases currently at the disposal of agencies like the Department of Defense, FBI, or Homeland Security. According to a release from Biometric Update, these agencies currently use different computer languages that have difficulty communicating with each other as seamlessly as the United States government desires. Now, I want you to bear something in mind. What this story does not mention, okay? Let me continue with this for right now. The U.S. Defense Department, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security are planning to establish a new standard in 2019 to allow their biometric databases to communicate seamlessly. DOD officials told an audience at the Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association, the Federal Identity Forum in Tampa, Florida. The Electronic Biometric Transmission Specification, or the EBTS version 4.1, will enable the DOD, the ABIS, the DHS, IDENT, and the FBI's NGI, that's the Next Generation Identification System, to communicate in their own language, according to DOD Biometrics Program Chief Engineer Will Graves. The DHS is preparing to upgrade from its IDENT system to a new Homeland Advanced Recognition Technology, or HART, in order to handle the scale capabilities far beyond those it was originally designed for. Here again, folks, you know what they're talking about here. They're talking about facial recognition, biometrics. We're talking about now civilian and military just kind of cozying up together to share all this wonderful information, when in actuality, the government agencies and the military should be cut out of this. It never should have been there in the first place. Hopefully, we'll be able to close the transactional and interoperability gap between DOD and the DHS. Now, perhaps most notable is the apparent the military systems in the U.S. national justice system into one overall sharing network. While the military is supposed to be restrained by posse comitatus from showing up on American soil to police the public, things appear to be more malleable where data collection systems are considered. Now, let me stop and digress here for a second. If Judge Kavanaugh's on this damn Supreme Court and a case is brought about something about this, how do you think he's going to rule? If we supposedly had conservative judges up there ruling that, well, this whole Obamacare is just a matter of the Congress being able to lay and collect taxes, well, that's certainly constitutional, isn't it? It shows you the Swiss cheese philosophy that the Supreme Court holds in the first place. The FBI is already mired in controversy for its role in attempting to suppress information about the domestic NGI databases cited in the quote above. Activist posts reported about this massive database that contains fingerprints, palm prints, iris, voice, face scans, as well as other biometric data of millions of non-criminal citizens. Derek Brose chimed in on this. He said, in early May, the U.S. Department of Justice released a proposal which would exempt the FBI's biometric database from public disclosure. Well, there goes your transparency. You know, we're building 1984 here. Nothing to see here, just move along. Specifically, the proposal would exempt the next generation identification, this is what they're calling their NGI system, from provisions of Federal Privacy Act, which requires federal agencies to share information about the records they collect with the individual subject of those records, allowing them to verify and correct them if needed. By the way, the comment section has been closed on this as of June 6th of 2016. And again, folks, the biometrics, the military, law enforcement, and anybody else, I guess, that wants the records, well, hey, we've just given ourselves permission to do that, too. And how do you think that would have tied in to national health care if that were allowed to stand? There's many people that didn't like the idea that that was cut out. Now, although the database does contain biometric data on convicted criminals, it contains information on individuals who were only suspected or temporarily detained under the suspicion of a crime. The system also features data from people's fingerprinting for jobs, licenses, military or voluntary service background checks, security clearances, and other government processes. Remember when we were talking about the Social Security number that the Social Security Administration issued, but this is not to be used for identification purposes. Remember that one? That was a big deal. Well, hell's bells. This is at light speed, and we're halfway to another galaxy already. Essentially, the FBI is arguing that it will prevent individuals from knowing if their information is in the massive database if the release of information would compromise a law enforcement investigation. Wow. Now, again, face scans, this is being put in airports around the country. I think it was even discussed being installed in Walmart. What the hell does this have to do with retail? It has to do everything with tracking and tracing everything that you do. And keep in mind, the Fourth Amendment specifically goes after your privacy, and the warrant shall be issued only when a presentment of evidence is given to a judge. They got to sign the paperwork. The complaint's got to be there in black and white. And then you have the right to alter or defend yourself, alter the information by way of you telling the truth to these people, which doesn't matter in a damn anyhow. But think about this. This is you going to the airport, folks, to go board a flight, and all of a sudden you discover that you're on a no-fly list. Some bureaucrat in some office in God knows what continent decided you shouldn't fly on an airplane. You're accused of what? There's no accusation. They're just saying that, yeah, you're not allowed to fly commercial airlines. Your freedom of movement has been restricted because why? Oh, and by the way, you're in error. I'm not that person, or I didn't do that, or you're barking up the wrong tree. Please take me off the list. Sorry, I can't do that. This is this on steroids, folks. Hello, America. You're under siege. You see why it's important to get rid of the deep state. Not the actors, not the people carrying out the dirty deeds and taking the heat in public, maybe in front of a camera, maybe at the notepad of a reporter someplace. No, 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 no. All this is a foregone conclusion, and we're going to do whatever the hell we want to do in spite of your mealy-mouthed complaints, in spite of that little, what the hell is that document called, the Constitution of America? Oh, no, no, the Constitution of America, from which all law is based in this country. Hello! Kavanaugh for Supreme Court judge? Who is one of the three in the Wizard of Oz looking for a brain? They're not going to stop, folks. And the wishes of the true deep state? They're not having any dissension amongst the ranks. We don't care what political cost it is, maybe to you individually. And we certainly don't care about the foundation and the structure of freedom and liberty inside this country. We demand it. We want it. You will do it. Do you think these asshats in Washington, D.C. that are barely able to put together a thought without a script would be able to come up with stuff like this? I don't think so, even though most of them are lawyers, which, again, by the way, the original 13th Amendment said, no, 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 no. No, you wordmeisters and twisters, no, you stay the hell out of politics. That's why the Constitution was written so simply. We don't need any lawyers to get in there and interpret. Look at the many convoluted sticky webs that they have woven in oh so many years here. Up to and including the Supreme Court won't hear any cases on property rights. Whoa, really? I'm thinking this is going to have to come down to a bare knuckle fight. I'm here to tell you. Because if the Constitution of which they swore to take public office is not going to stop them, then what is? An act of God? Maybe Zeus will come popping out of the bushes with a lightning rod. I don't know. To smite the enemies of this country. And I've heard the religious arguments on this as well, which if everybody followed, I guess we wouldn't have the situation we have in this country. But let me remind you something. Just as the Constitution were written for men, so was the Bible. And who's paying attention to either or? The one was more for, you know, taking the friction out of life and how to lead a halfway decent life on principle and ethic and morality and all those undefinable things. You ask somebody today what all that means, they look at you and go, I don't know. Does that mean not letting my kids watch porn on the computer? The law and the book was already written, whether it be the Bible or whether it be the Constitution. Coming up on break, and I will take your calls. I skipped the first break in order to get a bulk of Swan's information out. Folks, we're in a lot of trouble here. And regardless, now here's the simplicity and the beauty of the Constitution. It wouldn't matter what group was subjugating, what reasons that they gave. The prima facie evidence is laying right on the table for all to read. Their actions should stick out like sore thumbs because they're going against the Constitution. And whether you're going after a class of people that feel themselves superior, or whether you're going after a group that set out to subjugate and destroy America, it matters not. In the final analysis, it matters not. What does matter is the adherence to the law is maintained. It's always going to be attacked by this group today and that group tomorrow. We'll be back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
To finish this up, and then I'll get to the calls, one can only assume that the military's automated biometrics identification system is even more immune to transparency. We don't want you to see what we're doing to you under the banner of national security. Isn't that just too convenient? Nevertheless, this fact, in addition to the usual privacy and security concerns raised daily about what happens to our data after collection, and that's post-collection, what about the constitutionality of the collection in the first place? Forget the aftermath of it. What about the act itself? This also appears not to be an impediment, as modernizing the DoD's biometric system, which is at least 5 years old, let me repeat that, which is at least 5 years old, may include moving the ABIS to the cloud. Remember last week what you heard, folks? India's National Biometric ID Database was ruled constitutional by its highest court. Do you think there's a worldwide fix going on here? I do believe that there is. Oh, but that's another one of those wild-eyed conspiracies. We've been right all along. Conspiracy my butt. Factual explanation, not theory. Fred in Michigan.
John, I feel your passionate, righteous indignation. It's conspiracy science facts and conspiracy science fact professors is what we all are. Hey, listen to this. 1928, La Revue de Paris, that's a Rothschild publication, a letter to Karl Marx from Baruch Levy. The Jewish people as a whole shall be its own Messiah. It shall attain world dominion by the dissolution of races, the abolition of frontiers, the annihilation of monarchy. Didn't they, yeah, they did. They murdered the Tsar of Russia. I forgot the name of that family now. Anyway. Annihilation of monarchy, the establishment of a world republic in which Talmudic Jews everywhere shall exercise the privilege of citizenship. In this new world order, the children of Israel shall furnish all leaders without encountering opposition. It goes on from there, talks about the governments of the world republic shall fall without difficulty into the hands of the Talmudic Jews. It will then be possible for Talmudic Jewish rulers to abolish private property.
By the way, Fred, it is now being written about that, Joe Stalin, you know, around 1947, 1948, he turned against the Jews. The very people that created the communism in Russia to begin with, he came out and said, well, I don't know, in 1948, I don't know about this Jewish question. There was 50,000 Jews that supposedly showed up at his doorstep in the Kremlin to complain to him. But I'm watching this and I'm going, oh, here we go again. History being flushed down the toilet and we're creating all brand new history. Hope nobody's paying attention and doing any fact checking. We've got by the way, what you were searching for there was the Romanov family.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for your call, Fred. We're out of time in this one. Coming up, let me take Chris in Vegas, Johnny in New York, Al in Tucson, first-timer? First-time caller. I've heard of old-timers, but I've never heard of a first-timer. All right. We'll take all of that after the top of the hour break. I'm just getting geared up, folks. You know, and again, for the lackadaisical attitude, or I'm tired out there, or I'm tired of hearing this, and I just want to have my six-pack and go back to watching TV, you'd better wake up. You better get active, and you better get pissed off about this.
True, except this time, it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.